Mentioning about evangelism and outreach and things we want to do here in the ministry house. And some of you may even have a calling for missions in your life. And some of you's like, I don't have a clue. And that's cool, because Michael was there one day, wasn't you? And there was some of you are, as God begins to lead you in the ministry and things in your life, you know, this young man's served the Lord now. How long you been saved, Michael?
That's a bit of a story. I first received Jesus and got baptized when I was 12 years old.
Right.
But there was a time period where I got a little bit lost in the woods.
Right.
So I guess 23 years,
yeah.
When I got right was that age. So now I guess since then it's been another 17 years.
Well, Michael was called to Romania and into the mission field, and God had a plan for him over there, and just like he's got a plan for everybody in this room. So today I want y'all to give a big old God bless you to Mike. He's going to come up and minister to this next year. Kenny's got a clip here, and you're going to run that.
Just a minute. So my brother's going to be speaking. I'm joking. It's really good to be here, and I'm really thankful for the opportunity. I'm just really thankful my family also can be my aunt, my uncle, my brother, and it's just really a pleasure to be here. Some of you know a little bit about me. Most of you don't know anything about me. So I've been a missionary for the last 8 years in Romania, and God called me there. It's a bit of a long story. I didn't really want to go to Romania, but God wanted me to go to Romania, and that was that. He spoke very clearly, sent me there. Just to give you a little bit of an introduction about who I am and what I've done, there's this little video clip that I shared last time I was back that kind of is a summary. I didn't make a video clip this year because, well, you'll see why in a minute, but for the first 7 years, this is what we were doing in Romania. You can go ahead and play it. As a youth pastor for a number of years, and God really did a great work. There was a lot of people that we were able to baptize. Some of them are actually now missionaries in Africa. This is another village where we served in for this right next to Sibiu, and God just did a great work there. And there was dozens of baptisms, and it was awesome. Pastor was sorry, and he's in another picture. He's still there. But as we worked in the village, we realized that there weren't enough people who were Romanians who actually cared about ministering in their own country. And I don't believe in creating a dependent mission. I want to raise up local population to do the job which I'm currently doing. So we did a number of things out in the village, including building houses and planting crops and developing the village a little bit for the fact that they were very poor. This guy and his family were just in abject poverty. The neighbors were mocking him, waiting for him to kill himself. He was just in this little hole. I don't know how else to describe that house, but we built him a house and took care of his family, got him over there. And it was just amazing to see, you know, him come out of the darkness, you know. And he was one of the guys we did baptize, and his wife. A little playground we built at that church. But anyways, as we did all this work, we realized that the local Christians in the city just had no interest. So we decided it was time for us to plant a church in the city and raise up a new batch of disciples who would love Christ and also do something for the hurting and the poor who were right there next to them, instead of judging and instead of rejecting. Anyways, we got involved very much with the orphans. There's quite a bunch, quite a pile of orphans in Romania of all sorts and shapes and sizes. We did camps with handicapped orphans, with teenage orphans, with young orphans. I can't even remember how many camps we did. And as we, all these things were kind of swirling around as we were forming the church, and it kind of determined how we formed, you know? And this was the first group of guys and girls who had an interest in, not too much more than right here, had an interest in doing something. And we started out from the very beginning, it's like, we want to do something, you know? We began to meet in houses, and it grew and grew and grew. That was our little apartment for years. I think it was 350 square feet. We lived there for 7 years, family of four. But things have changed this last year. This was our church's first baptism. We built a dam on a little creek. Couldn't have something else to do. That was a very cold experience. And my daughter got baptized and saved.
Oh, yeah. Praise God.
And we started renting a room, and this one was also about 350 square feet. We grew out of both of these places now. We have a new location. I'll show you a picture in a minute. But things just began to develop. Orphans from the camp. Orphan girls that Mihaila worked with and is still working with. They're adults. I say girls, but maybe it's just because I'm getting older. But the young ladies who were trying to help adapt and integrate in society, more than that, become world changers. Not just accept the fact that they're somehow subpar, but the fact that with God all things are possible. And as you can see, we got a little bit big for the room. It was a 7-year journey there. And just, so if you can stop the video, and I'll just show you where we're at right now. With if you start to slide, the first couple of pictures are just kind of our... a little bit dark, sorry. We start the slideshow on top. And, it should be good. Is it? Okay. Great. And of course.
Second.
Mm-hmm. We'll take a moment. That's fine. It's a little dark, but this is the living room with a balcony of the new place we got. And there's a little bit of a story here. We are probably paying about a combined $400 of rent for the other two locations. And we said, we got to have something bigger. We're busting out of the seams with these little big spaces. A combined 700 square feet, it was just not working. I might have said meters. I meant to say feet. And so we were looking at this. We were looking around, and we were trying to shoot for a budget of around $600, a little bit of an increase. And the places are really much more expensive than that in Romania by now. And this lady, she's 70-something years old, and she has this house. And she lives actually on an attached apartment to the house. And we went and looked at it. It's just really big. It's around more than 2,000 square feet. And it had this beautiful big living room that would be perfect for a church that was our size. And a wonderful place for the family to stay. And we wanted to stay at the church so we can constantly be with and disciple the people who are coming and going. And we looked at it. It was just way more than we could afford. And so we got to talking to the lady and found out that she believed in God, believed in Jesus, just didn't believe in the resurrection. And I realized the house was too expensive, and I realized that, you know, there's probably no way we're getting it, so I just decided to talk to her about Jesus Christ. And we just shared our passion about the love of God and how we know for a fact that He wouldn't come and die for us unless He intended to finish that work and bring us back with Him. Mm-hmm. And she was so touched by this that we left there thinking, okay, well, at least I know why I was there. She calls real estate, and she's like, tell them we'll negotiate. And so the real estate agent called us and said, we'll negotiate. And I said, well, I don't want to insult her. What we're offering would actually look like an insult. It's just, you know, it's way down below what she's asking for it. And I just don't want to hurt her feelings. And I told him, I said, my max budget is $600 for this. And he calls back 20 minutes later and said, she accepted your offer.
Wow, praise God.
Yeah, and that's not all. Over time, also, there was a change in the euro to dollars, and right now we're paying about $480 because of the difference between euros and dollars. So God has really taken care of us and brought us into a place. Wow. Can you show the next slide, please? And this is just another picture. It might be a little, well, it's even less clear. But there they are. And the big transition this last year was that there was all sorts of marriages and all sorts of baby dedication, and just the transition as new families came. And we went from being an orphan kind of youth group, street-based, street kid kind of church, to being a young families with a children ministry, VBS, and also the other thing. So we're in this time of transition. Also in this last year, we went from having me and Mihaila and one other person leading. That person stepped down, and we were like really sad about that. But God replaced that person with about seven others. So all of a sudden, we're in the middle of this entire last year and a half of transitioning to this new place, transitioning to family center ministry, and training up a whole team of volunteer leaders who were giving their all for nothing. And finally, towards the end, about a month or two ago, we finally hired on one of those individuals because we needed the help. Stefan, I don't have a picture of him, but he's really stepping up and things are happening. So we're getting ready to go into the next season, which is going to be really strongly developing the children's church ministry, which we do have, but it's got to grow. And really taking this family's, discipling them, and then getting back into a mission-based attitude, because with all the transition, sometimes you can get a little bit and really focused. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're at right now, and that's who I am. Thanks for hearing that. Okay. Now, the rest of the slideshow is necessary.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, sorry. I put everything on one slideshow so we can just keep on. I've come back into America right now in a very interesting time. I think you'd all agree with that, right? Yeah. It's not a normal time. There's a lot going on. What all has happened in the last 2 years? I mean, Ebola, right? I mean, that's one thing. It's kind of fading from our memory now because of all that's going on right now. But that was unbelievable. That was scary. That was huge. And there was diseases, and there's Russia and Ukraine, and the issue with the police over here, and the racism, and the terrorism, and all sorts of events have been happening one after another, to the point that just we're not where we were before. And that's not the only thing that I see different now. What I see different from a distance, I'm watching America from a distance. It's a weird perspective because, I'm American. But I've seen it from a distance. And one thing I've noticed, a big change in how people, especially Christians, are responding to things. And it's not very godly. It's not very good. There's been any more. Let's go back up one more. I don't want to show this yet. Okay, we'll just say that's our church logo.
Yay!
Anyway. For now. We'll see if we don't develop a little more. But there's been a lot of anger between people, a lot of very strong opinions, a lot of people going back and forth, maybe even I would say a lot of aggression, political aggression, many, many very strong opinions. It's one thing to have your opinion. I believe in people having freedom to think and choose and debate. Debate's wonderful, but it's not really debate anymore, is it?
No.
No, it's not. It's vicious.
Yes.
And unfortunately, a lot of Christians are very vicious.
Mm. Amen.
And that's not very good. There's been a lot of scandals, right? Mm-hmm. And disease. And people are getting into escapism more and more. Mm-hmm. Because they're not really knowing what to do, how to confront this. And the world seems very troubled right now. But that's not what I came to talk about. That's the context. That's not the important truth. Because one thing I do know is that there is a God in heaven. There is a throne. There is a throne, and on that throne, from that throne, is all authority and all decision. And as chaotic as things may seem, this is not the most chaotic point in history quite yet.
Amen.
There were much worse times as Romans killed and ravaged and destroyed the world.
That's
as many other situations that were much worse as Nero was putting Christians on crosses, feeding them to lions by the thousands.
Yeah.
This is not the worst time in history.
That's right.
However, it may be. It will be. The end times are coming. But what I know is there is a throne, and from that throne, all authority is flowing. And there is a person on that throne. He is still in charge. God is still in charge. And we need to remember that. We need to get our eyes refocused. We need to get our center refocused. And we need to remember something, that God is in control.
Yes.
He is not out of control. We serve a wonderful, wonderful, loving, and caring God. And that's another thing I want to say. Regardless of what we've been through, maybe we've suffered loss. Both of my parents died of cancer. You've probably suffered things. And there are things that are going on in our life. But one thing I know, regardless of all that, God still very much cares. He cares more about your problem than you care about it yourself. stop and think. He knows your problem better than you know it. He cares about it more. He loves you more than you love yourself. And He is actually deeply and actively involved in our lives. It may not seem like it. We may not understand it. But when you're God, I guess, and you see and know everything, there's a moment when you look. There are moments with my kids. I look at them and I say to myself, I know I cannot explain this to them. They don't have the capacity, the words, the knowledge, the education to grasp my decision. Mm-hmm. But I know it's the right one. So I make the decision and I guide them through it. I comfort them when they don't understand. They may cry and scream and complain, but it has to happen. And God is infinitely more knowledgeable than us. And sometimes it really takes faith to accept the fact that He is a loving and caring God who is actively involved in our life even when we don't see and feel that. So I really would just want to rejoice with you that God is in control. And I want to say something. He's a God who sees. He sees very clearly. He sees from the top to the bottom, inside and out. He sees the context. He sees the context, and so on and so forth. He knows, He remembers the past, the history. Remember, He's the God who was, is, and will be. He currently exists in your past, in your future. Oh, that's another little truth. This is a little side note. But you know, you think about your past sometimes. Does it hurt sometimes? Honestly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just a thought here. There is nobody currently who is in the past. Right?
Correct.
Not correct. God is. After everybody comes through this day, the devil's through this day, the angels, there's only one person remaining in your past.
Come on,
and that is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So don't worry about your past. The only person back there is God. He's the only one who can exist in your past and also is in your future. Everybody else is just in the moment. God is in control. And we don't understand this too much, but we need to. And seeing our brokenness, He sees and knows everything we feel. He feels it. He gets it. He knows why you're confused, what you're thinking that's right. He knows what we're going through. And having said that, He has, and I'm here to tell you, an amazing plan. Okay? He has an amazing response to all that is going on right now. He has an answer. And that's what I want to talk about. Now, this is not the first time that things were rough. When Jesus came to the earth, Jerusalem, at that particular moment, was under the thumb of the Roman Empire. They were out of control. They were the people of God, but they had no control. There were laws and regulations. The Romans were polytheist, meaning they worshiped many gods, and they were persecuting the Jews for worshiping only one. So there was a lot of persecution. All of the Israelites were crying out to God, God, we want to be free from this oppressive government. Come and be our king. Rescue us, because we had all these kings before. We had David and his lineage. They were authorities. They were politicians. They'll set us free. They'll guide us out of this mess that we're in. And Jesus came in a moment of deep, deep crisis when there was sickness and there was demon possession and there was all sorts of horrible, horrible things going on. And people were crucified and put up on roads. You and me, if we lived in that time and we traveled between cities, I want you to stop and think about seeing people dead on poles as you travel between cities. Okay? I want you to picture that in America, and I want you to realize this is not the worst time the world has been in. And in that moment, Jesus appeared on the scene. He appeared, and He began to do His ministry. And after one particular very, very intensive series of ministry, let me get my Bible turned open here. I guess that would be an important thing in church, right? Let me get verses here. Well, just go ahead and go to the first verse there. I forgot, felt right now. Okay, Matthew 10. So right here in Matthew 10, before that in Matthew 7, 8, 9, so on and so forth, you'll read story after story of Jesus cast out this demon. He heals this multitude of people. He cures these diseases. He heals this multitude of people. He preaches this gospel. He rescues these brokenhearted people one after another after another after another. And finally, he looks around, and after all that ministry, there's still this sea of needy people. And He looks at His disciples and He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few.
Yes.
And He says, I have a plan. I have a plan. And he begins to talk to His disciples. And so that's where we want to start. That's where we're kind of here. And He looks and he says to His 12 buddies, He says, disciples, guys, you see what's going on here. It's a really bad time, and they already had hope because they had already tasted, they had already seen what Jesus can do, they had experienced His power, His glory, they were learning from Him, they were receiving. He said to them, guys, there's so much to do, but I have a plan, And I could see Peter going there, oh, that's great, Jesus. I was hoping so, because, you know, this is really getting pretty stressful and tiring. What's your plan? You're just going to wave a magic wand and they're all just going to be better? And Jesus says, no, I have a plan, and I'm sending you out two by two, and you're going to do what I'm doing. That's my plan. And he says, okay, so you're sending us out. That's the plan? He said, yeah, that's my plan. You're my plan. God's amazing plan,
yes,
to heal a broken world, which was way worse than what we're dealing with right now. Okay? And remember, let's talk about the zealots. You know what zealot? You ever heard Simon the Zealot? You ever heard that in the Bible? That means Simon the political activist. That's literally what it means. He was a political activist of an extreme nature. Zealots were people who were fighting back and maybe passive-aggressive ways and even aggressive ways to the Roman Empire to set Israel free. They were a political activist. And then you also had tax collectors who were the politically corrupt. So Jesus had a political corrupt politician and people who were zealously hating them as disciples. So there was all this same political environment. I mean, there's not much difference. But in the middle of all this, he says, I have a plan and you're it. And now we're back to present day. God's amazing plan for Holly Springs, Canton, Georgia, wherever you are, is you.
Good work.
Yes.
And if you're waiting on another plan, you're missing it.
Preach.
No. And so Peter's like, whoa, okay, cool. So we're your plan. You're going to send us out. Behold, I send you forth. I'm going to send you out. I'm going to send you to do the job. And Peter's like, that's great. Now you're going to give us all this power, and we're going to get active in it, and it's going to be great. And Jesus says something. He says, but wait, that's not all the plan. And Peter secretly says, oh, whew, I'm glad that that's not all the plan. I'm glad that there's more. Because, you know, me being sent out, that's kind of weak. I mean, you know, what's your plan? You're going to send us out like with angels' wings and swords, and we're going to take care of business here. It was something like that. But here, I'm going to show you. I'm going to send you out as, go ahead, as sheep. And so, yeah, exactly. Peter stops for a second. He says, wait a second. Your amazing plan to change this broken world is to send me out like a sheep.
Ooh.
And Peter's just like, let's go to the next slide. Oh, there we are, the sheep.
Jesus.
I wish we'd get a little more brightness, but that's okay. No, don't jump ahead. Please don't jump ahead.
I thought you said
no, I'll tell you. It's okay. So Peter's like, a sheep? That's it? That's what we got? You're sending us out as a sheep? That's your plan? And go ahead, and you can go this time, next slide. Peter says, I have an idea. That's my idea. If you're going to send me out as a sheep, arm me. This world is violent. It's crazy. They're going to eat me for lunch. Sheep, in fact, our food.
Yeah.
And I think Jesus, this is a good idea. So I'm pretty sure he came up and said, okay, will you consider my version of your plan?
Yes.
And we do that. God's great. I'm going to go out. But if I go out, I'm going out with style. Mm-hmm. And we put our flavor on it. We put our spin on it. We try to change things because it looks weak, Jesus said. It looks weak. But in our weakness, his strength is made perfect.
Yes.
And so let's go ahead and go to the next slide. And Jesus said, nope, just sheep. And he said, Peter, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, because that's not all. There's more. There's more to this plan. Peter says, I thought so. So what's the more? Go ahead, next. Behold, I send you out a sheep in the middle of wolves. That's my amazing plan to change this world. You're going to be sent out as a tasty snack to people who are hungry. And Peter's like, I'm just not getting this. Here, let's go to the next slide. And the next one. And the next. A little bit more. Keep going. Yeah, that's us. Sheep in the middle of wolves. That's God's amazing plan to change this world. And we begin to question, does God really get this? Does he really understand what's going on here? I'm suffering. My family's having problems. I'm sick. There's a broken world out there. When I go to work, all they do is jump on my case politically or otherwise. I don't think Jesus really gets the plan. And so again, Peter pipes up and says, then you definitely need to consider my next slide here. That's my idea. If we're going to be in the middle of wolves, give me the weapons. I got to protect myself. I got to defend myself. And Jesus says, no. Go to the next one.
Well,
he says, no. Sheep, trust me, you need faith. but this will work. And so we get into a situation here where God's world-changing plan becomes something unattractive. And we say, you know what? I'm not in. I got another plan, because to me that isn't going to work. And we say, I don't understand God. I don't understand why. I mean, how is that going to work? How is that going to change the world? I mean, I'm just going to be beat up and eaten. And you know what I think Jesus would reply to us when we begin to doubt this? He would reply, for thousands of years, since the beginning of creation, I have watched mankind's brokenness, and I've watched their sin. And when I came into the world to heal the broken, to forgive the sinner, to rescue the lost, to break the shackles of bondage, and above all, to be a light and a source of love in this world, it worked.
Wow.
Okay. And I did it no matter what people did to me. I did it no matter what the circumstances were. Mm-hmm. My plan worked irregardless of antagonism, mm-hmm. enemies, obstacles, doors, locks. It did nothing stop this plan. You have to understand, from my perspective, this is Jesus talking, from my perspective, from an eternal perspective, there is no greater plan than this plan. Mm-hmm. Jesus, in fact, came into the world as the Lamb of God.
Yes.
So he's not asking me and you to do anything that he didn't first do himself. He is the Lamb. He is also coming one day as the Lion of Judah, who will rule and reign.
That's right.
That's a different phase, a different moment. That's a moment when that's it, sin's done, opportunities are over, you're either in or out, it's over. But right now, and in the season that we will live and die in, this is the plan. Jesus came as a Lamb. And you are sent out not as mighty warriors, not as people who are going to fight and convince everybody, but as people who are sheep. Mm-hmm. A woolly snack. And we say, God, that's going to hurt. Let me see the next slide real quick. And that's going to hurt. And so we hide. As Christians, we begin to do this. We try to blend in with the wolves. We don't want them to snack on us. We don't want to be obvious that we're different. So we become a sheep in wolf's clothing. We say, it's okay, I'm going to be sheep, but I got to do something. So I'm going to look like them. I'm going to talk like them. I'm going to act like them, because I don't want to be beat up by them. It hurts. It hurts. Tell me this. Did what Jesus go through feel good?
No.
No, it hurt. But I'm telling you, if you want to follow him, that's the path. And if you want to change this world, that's the path. It is not that you go out there and slam people down and convince them that you're right. It's that you sacrifice and suffer for the one who is next to you.
Yeah.
When they don't deserve it. When they're the ones who should be suffering.
Amen.
But you say,
Amen.
You know what? It's okay, because that's what Jesus did for me. He
yes.
died for my sin. I
Come
should
on,
be
bro.
Dead. But he suffered for me. So who am I to say that I don't deserve to be mistreated by you or you or you? I hate it, but it's the way. It's
yes.
the way. I hate it in the sense that it hurts. I love it in the sense that it's true and it works. But it, you know, it hurts. It hurts when your family doesn't treat you right. It hurts when your coworkers are mouthy. It hurts.
Yes, it does.
And here's the thing about it. We can't keep doing this, trying to live like sheep and look like wolves. This is not God's plan. And if you do that long enough, here's what's going to happen. Go ahead. Whether you like it or not, you'll end up like this. With all the appearances of a Christian, but none of the function.
Ooh.
Okay? Because, and this happens not to, this happens to good people, not because they're mean, and not because they hate, but because they're afraid.
Mm. Yes.
And because they don't have the faith to trust that God will take care of
Preach
them.
To
God
us,
can heal the wounds and the brokenness that you will have. If you suffer
yes.
from being a sheep because you want to be sent out by God, he will take care of that. You will be rewarded both in this life and, trust me, in the life to come. And that is coming. Some of us are closer than others. But, but it's coming. This life perishes. But there is an eternity where rich rewards can be laid aside for you based upon your actions and faith here. And fear will eventually lead you to this.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, it's not, and you would say, no, I would never willingly, I know, none of us is like, hey, I'm going to be a little in she's clothing. I'm going to go out there and misuse people or abuse them or hurt them. But what happens is you get hurt long enough, you hide, you pretend long enough, and all that gets built up in here to the point you begin reacting, you begin acting out, you begin responding to pain with more pain.
Yes.
And that's not God's way. He said, be a sheep. From exterior to interior, the same thing. Okay? So, you know, bitterness is really another reason that happens. I'm a loving Christian. I am. But those people don't deserve it. They treat me. I tried loving them. I'm a loving Christian. But that's not fair. God would never ask me for that. God would never put me through that. I'm a loving Christian. But no. This isn't right. No, there's got to be a better way. I'm a loving Christian. And we push back, and we bite back, and we scratch back, and we discover one day that we were the wolf, not the sheep.
Oh.
You see, here's a little secret for you. No, Mike, I'm a loving Christian. I love those people right near me. Wolves love their pack.
That's right.
Their little pack, they're close with. They're not going to hurt each other. That's their clan. That's their thing.
Come on.
But that's not God's plan. See, we got to be more than that. Because we can sit there and say, no, I'm a loving person, because we're judging ourselves how we treat our pack. Okay? But how do you treat the one who doesn't deserve your love, the one who hurt you? How do you treat the stranger and the person who argues with you and wants to hurt you? How do you treat that person? That's how you judge whether or not you have a Christ-like love or just a wolf-like love.
Yes.
Because every creature has some capacity to love, but we are called to be followers of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Okay? And you know, that's why Jesus said, this is not my plan. This will never work. You're just going to become part of the problem. And so many of us in this day and age, based on our reactions to the things that have happened, have actually been part of the problem, not the solution. Can we go to the next slide? Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. This is God's plan, and it works. Okay? In a world full of wolves, be the sheep. That's the secret name of this message. And I want you to repeat it with me. In a world full of wolves, be the sheep. When you're driving down the road, okay, and someone cuts you off, and you want to get on to them, just go, okay? When you're at home with your spouse or your family member, and they start going off, and they're having one of them worldly days, and you just want to get in there with them, just go, okay? Hey, do it if it works for you. I'm just having a lot of fun, okay? But you get the idea, okay?
Right.
Next time someone's hurting you and you start to say, that's not this is what it is.
Yeah.
Remember something. Sheep are food, right?
Yes.
The Lamb of God gave up himself to be food and drink for a thirsty, broken, hurting world.
Amen.
And he says, you follow me. And for that person who's mistreating you, when you feel like raising up and defending it because he's attacking what is good and right, just remember this. You're not more good and right than Jesus was.
Yes.
Oh, I look at my life now and I'm like, okay, I'm going home now. Yeah. And we must love. And it's very possible that God will call us to sacrifice and be loving to people who don't deserve it. Even today, tomorrow, remember this, the circumstances are not beyond his control. And oftentimes when someone aggravating comes into your life, it was actually according to his plan because God trusted you to have a good reaction. When someone comes politicizing and jumping your case about things, maybe there's a reason that's happening this and that has nothing to do with politics. Maybe God is looking for a man or a woman who will say, you know what, I have something here that's more important to me than being right. And that's being with God.
Yes.
And I just want to love you. And you may not like me, and you may be attacking me, but you're going to find out something. I'm not going to hurt you.
Mm.
I'm going to love you. I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to care for you. You do what you think you need to do. And there will come a day and a moment when, let's keep going on the slides here, when one by one, God, oh yeah, here's a little thought. God loves wolves. In fact, you and me were definitely at one point wolves. Let's keep going. And so we're surrounded by this, and we're trying our best, and we're going to beat a sheep, and keep going, Penny, a little bit by a little bit. And all of a sudden, one of them changes, you know, and we convince somebody, and then someone else, and someone else. And before you know it, they want to be like you.
Yeah.
And instead of wolves creating more wolves, pain creating more pain, you have people say, I'm not going to react to the situations and the pain and the hurt and the warfare and all that's going on in life.
Yeah.
Instead, I'm going to share the love of Christ and I'm going to be a sheep. And all of a sudden, someone will go, I'm sick of the conflict too. I'm over here with you. And I'm going to, and they're going to convert. And it won't get everybody. The wolves will stay. And in the end, the wolves crucify Jesus. But guess what? Jesus still won. He conquered death. He conquered the teeth and the claws. He conquered it not by breaking them, but by dying and being resurrected by the power of God and by trusting in the infinite glory and power of God. And this is God's call in our life.
Yes.
In a world full of wolves. Is it? It is.
Yes.
Definitely full of wolves.
Yes.
Be the sheep. That's the only thing you have to remember. Take that away. For the rest of your life, say, be the sheep. When everything's going wrong and people are rough, you say, in a world of wolves, I'm the sheep. It works.
Amen.
God will defend me. Just keep going. I just want to leave it on. There's a verse. Man, he was comforting them after telling them, I'm going to send you out. I'm going to send you out like sheep among wolves. He says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him.
That's right.
Meaning God, not the devil, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, because the devil has no authority in hell. That's a lie. That's a lie. He's just going to be bound in chains and roasting for eternity. God's in control. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall onto the ground without your Father's will. I don't know why that's not saying that word there. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered.
Yeah. Yes.
Man, that's a daily activity for God with my life.
Mm-hmm.
I think that number changes hourly. But literally, He knows. That's how intensively He is interested in you. He knows every hair on your head. That blows my mind. No matter how much, even if you love me, you don't know how many hairs I have on my head. You don't even care. You don't care. I don't care how many hairs you have on your head, but God actually cares. I just ponder that. He's with you. He's not like you're alone being a sheep. He's like, have fun with that.
Right.
No, He cares. Nothing will happen to you except by His will, but you've got to trust Him. That's why you can be the sheep, because the shepherd is here. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, not being ashamed, not putting on the wolf's clothes, but being a sheep, who is a sheep, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Meaning God's going to be, Jesus is going to be talking with God, and they're going to be like, did you see Ronnie? Did you see Josh? Did you see these guys? Did you see what they're doing? That person, trust me. They trust me enough to not throw up the shields, to not pull out the bazookas, and just to wait on me.
Yes.
Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And that's a very scary verse, but it needs to be spoken. Let's just go to the last slide here. Keep going. The shepherd. Okay? In a world full of wolves, be the sheep. In a family full of wolves, be the sheep.
Mm.
In a school full of wolves, what's your name? In a school full of wolves, be the sheep.
Yes.
In a job full of wolves, be the sheep. You get it?
Yes.
In a room full of wolves, be the sheep. Okay? Never forget this point. It'll guide you. God is looking for a man or a woman to sin, to strengthen people who deeply care about God and what's on His heart. People willing to love wolves, even when they're biting them. Just a little bit of a history thing. I mentioned the martyrs in Nero's time. Christians who were the sheep among wolves, the wolf of Rome. They were put on crosses. They were fed to lions, and they were burned at the stake. And the whole time they were doing it, they were singing praises to God. And the people in the stadiums were watching. And every time they would martyr these wonderful Christians, more people would give their heart to Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. And by the thousands, revival hit Rome, and Nero couldn't stop it because they weren't biting back.
That's
going,
right.
It's not fair, how dare you? They weren't raising protests. They weren't saying, you have no right, you're persecuting Christians. They didn't do all that. They simply loved. And because of that, Nero was conquered, and Christianity kept going. And Nero's in the grave, burning in hell, but Christianity survives today because the devil can't stop God's plan. This is a world-changing plan.
Yes.
You are God's plan to change the world, but you got to be a sheep. Nothing can stop it. And in modern times, there was a guy named Richard Wurmbrand. You ever heard of him? Voice of the Martyrs founder.
Yes.
He was a man who suffered in communist prisons in Romania for decades for nothing more than loving Jesus. He was tortured. He was beat. It was forbidden to preach in the prisons. And they said they would beat them. So him and a few pastors decided they would make a deal. We preach, you beat us. We're both happy. And they would preach and they would beat them. They would preach and they would beat them. It was just an agreement that they had. And they loved the guards. And many of the guards received Jesus. People who were abusing them and beating them.
Yes.
End up becoming Christians.
Thank you, Lord.
Because this plan is unconquerable.
Amen.
God's way is the highest way above any other way you could ever possibly think or imagine. But if we're going to be real about it, we got to look at it in its entirety and realize that we are not living Christian life correctly. We have got to make a change.
Amen.
And we say, but we must fight back against evil. Jesus says, no, you must love back.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what else Richard Warmbrand said. He didn't complain that communism came to his country. Oh, we got to raise political rallies. We got to stop it. He said, you know what? For years we were supposed to send missionaries to communist Russia and we didn't do it. God has brought the Russians here so that we can witness to them. And some of us are like, how come all these Muslims are coming in our country? This is not fair. What if it's God's idea? What if this is their only chance to receive Jesus before they die and go into sinner's hell? What if the Muslims and Mexicans and everybody's crossing the border is God saying, you need to get over there. There are some Christians who are going to love you, serve you, and rescue you.
Wow.
And instead of getting all politically minded, we need to be part of a bigger kingdom, the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
In a world full of wolves, be the sheep, or you will completely miss what's going to happen. I tell you, these are glorious times. And I'm telling you that if you will wait and you will participate in this, you will shine like a star in the sky and people will be changed because of your life. God is looking for someone. And that's a question you're going to have to take home. There's no altar call experience for that one. I'm sorry.
Amen.
That's a choice you make or you don't make. It is a daily thought. It is a progress and a journey.
Amen.
May God help us all. I'm challenging myself anew because I start being a sheep, but then it hurts, and so I start not being a sheep. You know, it's a process, okay?
Yes.
And I just want to encourage each of us to reconsider where we are on this journey. That's a very direct message. I've been looking forward to sharing this for a long time.
Thank you, Jesus.
I just want to thank God right now in prayer. Yeah. God, thank you so much that you're the shepherd. Thank you so much, God, that in your kingdom and in your equation, being a sheep is the most powerful thing we could ever be. Lord, forgive us for being part of the problem, part of the conflict, part of the antagonism. Help us, Lord Jesus, to serve you and actually follow you. We need your help. Certainly, by human strength, we cannot do this. We need your power. We need the guidance and filling of the Holy Spirit. We need you with us, God. But I know, God, that you are with us. The shepherd is always with the sheep. And by you, God, we can do all things, Father. I love you, and I ask you, God, to raise up a flock in America. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Oh, that was awesome. Life-changing.
Oh. Awesome word of God. Well, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice and what? My people hear my voice and they follow, Jesus said, right?